Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 4th edition of the MBOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. I got to mention, in about 45 minutes, I'll be joined by Cole Shelton to break down UFC 247, so definitely tune in for the second podcast today where we break down that card. I'm really looking forward to talking about the first card of the month, and it's going to be a busy month, guys. There's four cards this month, four cards next month, so it's going to be really crazy next few months, but that's what we like. We like watching fights, so should be good. But today I'm going to talk about some news for now, and we'll start with Colby Covington. So Colby Covington, he did the rounds yesterday. He spoke to Ariel Helwani. He spoke to my boy, James Lynch. And he has a lot of interesting things to say. Basically, just opened up about a lot of different topics in both interviews that I saw. I think James did a really good interview, by the way. Those guys have a great rapport, you know, him and James. He has a lot of respect for James, which is cool. But, of course, Ariel is the big fish in the sea in MMA journalism, and his show was getting a lot of play yesterday. So just some talking points from both. You know, especially in the interview with James, like, Covington went off on Mark Goddard. He's pissed. He's not happy about what happened with that stoppage. And, you know, I can't blame him. I didn't like the stoppage when I saw it, and I was there at that fight. I thought it was a little early. You know, I still stand by that. I know he was hurt. We'll talk about the jaw in a second, but I know he was hurt, and I know that I don't think, like, the clock should really come to play in fights. I think if the guy's getting really hurt, the fight should be stopped regardless, even if there is, like, a minute left or whatever. But the thing is, I do feel like he was defending himself. I do think he was covering his head. I do think that the referee stopped it a bit early, and I do think there was a little bit of bias by the referee towards Covington in this fight. Like, the Usman thing where he got, supposedly kicked in the nether regions, and it turned on the replay. He didn't actually get kicked. Like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I feel like you should almost be docked a point for that. I mean, it's on the rules, obviously. It's gamesmanship. It is what it is. But, you know, it feels like Mark Goddard was a little bit biased towards Usman in that fight. I'm not saying it's going to change the outcome of the fight. I think Usman would have won either way. He did prove he was the better fighter, in my opinion, but I still love the stoppage. So Covington went off and basically said that he wants to give Mark Goddard a wedgie, which I thought was hilarious, and basically said that it was a terrible stoppage and you screwed him up. Here's the thing, though. Like, even if Goddard let the fight go on for another minute, that would have been probably a 10-8 round for Usman. Even if it was 10-9, Usman would have won a split decision, if not a unanimous decision, because Usman, it was a tie fight going into the fifth round, according to the judges. One had it a draw, one had it 3-1 Covington, one had it 3-1 Usman. Usman wins that last round, 10-9 or 10-8, he wins the fight. So it didn't really change the outcome of the fight. Like, there's no way that Covington was going to recover from that and then, like, go on a 10-8 rampage himself. It wasn't going to happen. So to me, it was actually something that didn't really affect the outcome of the fight and the winner of the fight. Having said that, as a competitor, I can see why Covington was upset. He wanted to get the chance to fight. He wanted to get a chance to go the full distance, go the 25 minutes. So I can see why he's upset about it. But, you know, like I said, I don't think it would have changed anything. Usman would have won. You know, I thought it was cool. Covington actually gave some props to Usman. Basically, he said that he thinks that they're the top two fighters in the game right now. I don't know if I believe that, but I think in welterweight division, yes, they are the top two guys. I think they proved that in that fight. Usman obviously proved he is the top dog right now. But, you know, Covington will be back. He'll bounce back. He'll be good. And speaking of the jaw, because I just mentioned that, he denies that he broke his jaw in the fight. He says that it never actually happened. He says that was just kind of something that was floating around. He basically said he was embarrassed by what happened. That's why he ran on the octagon. It had nothing to do with the broken jaw. He was showing his jaw on the camera. He says it's fine. Hard to say if he's lying or not. I mean, it definitely could have been some sort of small fracture in there. We don't really know. We don't have we don't get to see the CAT scans and all that stuff. But, you know, regardless, he looked pretty good in the interviews. He looked like he's in good spirits. He looked like he was happy and ready to go. So, you know, the fight happened last month. I mean, obviously, it was a brutal fight for both guys. They both are banged up after that fight. They'll both need some time off. Usman, we know, is going to fight Masvidal in July at International Fight Week. I say put Covington in the card, too, if he's ready to go. Why not? Put him on the same card. Draw some more heat towards that card. And you know what? Hey, if he wins this fight against whoever, it could be Michael Chiesa. I don't think he's interested in that fight. He didn't sound like he's interested in Michael Chiesa, but it's possible he could fight him. But put him on that card because, you know, they could build some heat for a future fight. So we'll see what happens there. But it is good to see Covington speak again. You know, even if you don't like the guy, I know a lot of people don't like him. You got to admit he's good for the sport. We need heels like this in MMA. We need guys like this that can talk smack and also walk the walk, because the guy is a really good fighter. I mean, you can say what you want about his personality. I know a lot of people do not like him. He's not very well liked guy by most people. As far as his skills go inside the octagon, I mean, the guy is very good. You know, you have to admit he's a good fighter. And he did lose his fight for the title, but he'll be back. And it was a great fight. It was an epic fight, one of the better fights of last year. And I just think he feels like in his mind he was robbed a little bit. I don't really agree with that. Having said that, I do feel like the stoppage was a little bit early. Could have went on a few more punches at least. But better safe than sorry. It is better to see a slightly early stoppage than a slightly later stoppage, especially in a brutal fight like that that goes into the fifth round. So I definitely urge you guys, go check out James's podcast with Colby tomorrow. I mean, everyone's watching Aerials. Go check out James. I think he did a really good job with Colby. All right, let's move on here. John Jones. I'm going to talk about John Jones. He's fighting this weekend, UFC 247. Can't wait for this fight, guys. It's going to be a good one. John Jones is, according to Jeff Novitzky, who's the UFC VP of Health and Performance, he said that John Jones, in his 20 years of experience in drug testing, is the most tested athlete in pro sports. John Jones, according to Jeff Novitzky, was tested 42 times last year on short notice, including tests by USADA, the California State Athletic Commission, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And, of course, there's a good reason for that. It's because John Jones has tested positive a couple times in the past, as we all know. And he's right now the most tested athlete, according to Jeff Novitzky, in any sport that he's ever seen. So that's pretty crazy. And from what we know, he passed all his tests last year. So that's a good thing. It looks like the picogram issue is taken care of for the most part, which is a good thing. You know, I think a lot of us, we just want to believe John Jones is a clean athlete. I mean, I know he's tested positive a few times and there's been a lot of issues, but he has got off a few times, you know, with shorter suspensions and all that. I think a lot of us just want to believe that he is clean right now because he is the greatest fighter of all time, you know, but of course the drug tests will always taint someone's career. So it'd be nice to see him just get through at least this fight with no positive drug tests, get through the post-fight drug testing, no positive drug tests, and move on to the next fight. The guy is an incredible athlete, incredible fighter. And, you know, to be fair, though, like he kind of did this to himself. So as far as the 42 tests go, I mean, that's a lot of tests, guys. There's a lot of different tests, urine, blood tests, everything. But he kind of did it to himself. So it's good that the commissions are going after him and doing that. All right, let me get some questions here. I'll get to some other news in a second. Kevin Scott, Colby should fight the loser of Woodley Edwards. I mean, maybe. I mean, could possibly fight the winner, if anything. Edwards says he's going to get the title shot if he wins against Woodley. He says it's in his contract. But we'll see what happens there. That'd be a good fight, though. I think Colby versus Woodley is a fight that I'd like to see, you know. I guess I know what you're saying, Kevin, if you're staying for the next fight. Okay. Edwards probably just got a title shot. Yeah, okay, so Woodley, if he loses, I think for Colby would be a really good fight. I agree with you on that. It'd actually be a really fun fight that I wanted to see a few years ago, but it'd still be a really relevant fight now. Ron Carlson's stoppage was perfect. I don't know about that, Ron. You know, I think it was a little bit early, man. But again, probably better early than late. I mean, he could have went a bit later and then could have got hurt. It didn't matter, though. That's the thing. He would have lost the decision, even if it went the full distance. I just think he wanted the opportunity to get there and not get TKO'd because you'd rather lose the decision and get knocked out, obviously. And Robert Napolitano, he agrees with Kevin on that fight suggestion. And Ron Carlson Jones has got this. You know, Kevin, I'll read your question because you sent me a question on the weekend. I'm going to read it right now. Kevin is pretty good at sending these questions in. Let me find it here. Kevin Scott. All right. So I'll be talking about UFC 247, but Kevin wants to talk about this right now. Hi, Adam. I feel like this is a tough fight to bet since there isn't any value betting on a -1,000 favorite. He's talking about Valentina Shevchenko versus Kaylee Chookagian. And Chookagian is likely to outmatch most places the fight goes. What I already took is Chookagian by submission. I just feel like being a brown belt under Henzo, the ground game is probably the skill set where she matches up best against Valentina. I was able to get this bet at a crazy 30-1 odds on DraftKings. Seems extremely wide to me, especially since catching an arm or neck, while not likely, is certainly in the realm of possibility for an experienced grappler like Chookagian. That being said, the other two prop choices look decent too. If you don't have a stomach to bet in Chookagian, Valentina by decision -150, Valentina by knockout +325. I'd be very surprised at any outcome other than those three. I look forward to your breakdown of the call next week. Have a great MMA free weekend. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that. I was thinking about your question on the weekend, Kevin. You know, for me, I think money on Chookagian is dead money. You know, I know women's MMA does have some crazy upsets at times, like the Roxanne fight last week, as we all remember that. Of course, Ronda Rousey versus Holly Holm. So there's crazy upsets once in a while. I just don't see anyone beating Shevchenko at 125. I think the only fighter in the UFC right now that beats her is Nunez at 135. And I actually think that if they rematch for a third time, the trilogy fight, I think Shevchenko's a really good chance to beat Nunes. So to me, like, she's going to smoke Chookagian. I think they are high, obviously, but I don't see how Chookagian wins. Chookagian wins her fights by basically just playing patty cake and winning decisions on points. That will not work in this fight. Shevchenko's just too dangerous, too much power, too accurate with her strikes, too dangerous everywhere the fight goes, on the feet, on the ground. I think if the fight goes to the ground, I actually favor Shevchenko quite a bit, actually. I think her wrestling's better, and I think her, you know, we haven't really seen her submission game too much, but I think it actually could work in this fight. It could possibly lead her to win on the ground. But I think you're right. It's most likely going to be either Valentina by decision or knockout. I kind of lean towards decision a little bit. I'll talk about this with Cole in the next show, but I'm kind of leaning towards the decision just because Chookagian's never gone, none of her fights ever ended inside the distance. All of her fights have gone the distance. And Shevchenko, generally, a lot of her fights go the distance as well. She does have the KO power we saw against Jessica to finish the fight, but I feel like most likely it's going to go to decision. I know that's kind of playing it safe here, but that's why I kind of see the fight going. So you have to lay a little bit of juice at minus 150. But I will say this, I agree with you that minus 1,000 or minus 1,100, I think it is now, that's a hard bet. I think instead you'd have to look at a prop because there's better value on it, obviously. But you are taking a risk because if she wins by another method, you'll lose. So it's a risky thing to do, but I would lean towards decision. I appreciate the question, Kevin, as always. But yeah, I mean, honestly, at 30-1 odds, whatever you got, that's crazy because anything can happen in May. But I can't see Chookagian winning this fight. But still, why not take her? A couple more questions here. Robert Napolitano, Colby Poirier at 170. Yeah, it'd be an interesting fight. I mean, to me, Colby too big for Poirier. But Poirier says he wants to move to 170. He's interested in it, right? I think he should stay at 155. I think Poirier versus Gaethje makes a lot of sense right now. You know, Gaethje obviously coming off some wins, Poirier coming off the loss, but Gaethje needs to have a fight soon. Poirier needs a fight. That's a fight that makes sense. If not, Poirier versus Nate Diaz, but a lot of people are saying right now that Nate's going to fight Conor McGregor, so we'll see what happens next. And Robert also says Zhang versus Shevchenko at 125 next. Let Zhang compete for the second title if she beats Joanna. It's possible for sure, but Zhang or Shevchenko, from what I heard, I saw this the other day, she said that Zhang's not even close to a title shot at 125. She thinks that Zhang needs to get a couple wins. She needs to beat Joanna. She needs to beat Rose. There's a couple other fighters there at 115, like Tatiana Swords as well. So I think there's a lot of contenders for Zhang right now. That'd be a good fight, though. I mean, let's say Zhang goes out there and smashes Joanna in March. Like, it could happen, right? And then a lot of us would love to see that fight for Shevchenko. But I feel like there are some other fights for both fighters at the moment. Although I do think that Shevchenko pretty much beats anyone in that division. And Zhang, I think there's some competitive fights for her, though. Like, we haven't seen a lot out of her. I mean, obviously, the Andrade fight was impressive, but it was only like 40 seconds, right? I think we need to see a little bit more of Zhang before we can really start talking about her fighting for a second belt, although I have been very impressed with what I have seen. And on paper, that'd be a fun fight. I just think there's other fighters that these girls need to fight next before they move on to a super fight. All right, last thing here, Peter Yan. He's talking again, and he wants to fight TJ Dillashaw. Obviously, TJ is suspended. He won't be able to fight until next year, but, man, that'd be a fun fight if it did happen when they came back. You know, for me, Yan should be fighting for the belt next, guys. Like, that fight versus Faber was extremely impressive. He looked great in that fight. I think that he's next in line, in my opinion. I really think that it should be Peter Yan versus Tanner Cejudo, but all those are going to get the title shot, and Yan has to wait a little bit longer, which kind of sucks, so... You know, he's talking about this in the future fight. It'd be a fun fight in the future for sure, Yan versus Dillashaw. Dillashaw off the juice is going to be interesting to watch, but it'd be a fun fight for sure. I just think that right now, Yan's got some other fish to fry, like Sterling and Marlon Moraes, and of course, Henry Cejudo, because I do think he deserves that title shot, and we'll see if he gets it. And I think that's it for questions. Okay, so I'll end this podcast, but like I said, I'll be back at 11 a.m., so about 30, 35 minutes from now to break down UFC 247. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin and the podcast, and I'm available at bjpenn.com and MMAOddsBreaker.com and MMARings.net. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in, and tune in to the UFC 247 breakdown show very shortly. Have a good one. Bye.